To date in the book of Daniel, we've seen that El Elyon, translated as the Most High God, is the one who blessed and prospered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under a diet that honored God as they refused the king's choice food, Daniel 1. In chapter 2, we studied about King Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, and the distressing dream, the disturbing dream that he had. The king demanded of his wise men that they reveal to him the content of the dream as well as its interpretation, and if they could not, they would lose their lives. Daniel, the servant of El Elyon, was the only person who could tell the king both what the dream was and its interpretation. Through the dream, God revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar that though his kingdom was awesome and full of splendor, that Babylon would only be a temporary kingdom, and it would be replaced by another Gentile kingdom. The dream also informed the king that it was the God of heaven that had sanctioned him and gave him the kingdom of Babylon. This revelation insulted the ego and the pride of the king because he believed that the gods of Babylon were more powerful than the God of Israel. Therefore, the king rebelled against the power of God. Next, in Daniel chapter 3, we see the king's rebellion come into living color as he built a statue of gold, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. And in the building of the statue, the king was telling the God of heaven that the Babylonian kingdom was a forever kingdom, and there would be no silver or bronze or iron or clay or a kingdom cut of stone as revealed in the dream. The king wanted to make it clear to God that Babylon and he, the king, were sovereign and supreme and without equal. The king then called on the people of Babylon to bow and worship the statue. However, when the king called for everyone to bow and worship the gold statue, there were three men full of faith and loyalty to the God of heaven, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow at the feet of the statue. And these three men incited the rage of the king as he turned his wrath upon them for refusing to bow down. And the king cast them into a fiery furnace. But then the God of heaven demonstrated his power and his authority over the king. The king was humbled by the king of heaven. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the midst of the fire, and there God spared their life, and you hear the king call out to them, "Come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." God, the Most High, El Elyon, protected these men from every negative effect on the fire. The Most High God demonstrated himself and revealed himself to be supreme and the sovereign God of the universe. And the king Nebuchadnezzar was humbled in the sight of God. He was humbled in the sight of his people. The anger, the pride, and the self-righteousness of the king now turned to respect for the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. El Elyon, because he was El Elyon, the Most High God, was now respected by the king, but the king was not ready yet to personally embrace the God Most High. And so this leads us to chapter 4. The next step in God's divine house of character building in the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar. It is in Daniel 4 that we find that Nebuchadnezzar is personally humbled to receive God and to honor him personally. In Daniel chapter 4, we find the personal testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar as it relates to El Elyon, the God Most High. Daniel 4, 1 through 2 say this, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the people, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God," the Most High God being the translation of El Elyon, "to see the wonders that the Most High God has done for me. So what we are about to read in Daniel chapter 4 is the personal testimony of the king. The story we're about to hear is true, and none of the names have been changed, so none of the innocent are protected. So we know the truth, so that we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. In this story in Daniel 4, we will find the once volatile, angry, egotistical king will humble himself before El Elyon and change his mind in regard to who the God of heaven is and the authority that God carries. Now, as I thought about this part of the story in Daniel 4, I paused to think about and to consider the extreme measures that God the Most High went to get the attention of the king, to reveal himself to the king, so that the king might believe in the God Most High. God, by his sovereign power, could have just swatted King Nebuchadnezzar into oblivion for his brash ego and his condescending, arrogant pride towards the existence of God and the power of God. God could have just spoken the word, and the king would have been vaporized right before the eyes of the citizens of Babylon. However, notice, God pursued the king's heart, even though the king had rejected God time and time again. What would motivate God the Most High, who is sovereign and supreme, to pursue with such vigor an egotistical, proud sinner like King Nebuchadnezzar? Might I suggest to you today, it is that same motivation that God had in pursuing us in our salvation. It is the love of God. It is the mercy of God. It is the grace of God that pursues sinners unto eternal life. You see, because God could have just vaporized us too. He could have just pushed us into oblivion with simply a word. But God pursues us. God comes after us because of his love, his mercy, and grace. You see, God loves sinners, and he wants them found. God is not wanting any to perish, and therefore he pursues those who are distant from him. So even to people who are the most skeptical today, possessing the hardest of hearts towards God and his existence, you know what God's doing? He's continuing to pursue them in love. He's continuing to pursue those who have turned their back and mocked him. God continues to call them to his family. God continues to reach out to them, offering his unmerited love and his mercy and grace. And he will do so until they breathe their final breath upon this earth. That is how much God loves you. That is how much God cares about you. If you have blasphemed God with your words, if you insulted God with your arrogant attitude, if you've continually disrespected God with your unbelief, you know what God's doing right now? He's continuing to pursue you with his love. He's continuing to pursue you with his mercy and his grace. God loves you. Yes, Jesus died and rose again for you. God is still calling you and wanting you to be part of his eternal kingdom. But the decision is your decision to make. Respond to God's gift of eternal life or go your own way that God continues to pursue. Now back to the story of the king. So this once rebellious and egotistical king now gives testimony to the sovereignty and supremacy of El Elyon. Daniel 4, verse 3 says this, "How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." Well, we can see that the king has come a long way on his spiritual journey, and God is ready to take him to the next step. God again uses a dream and then its fulfillment to convert the king's heart. Here is the king's testimony and how he and Daniel worked through what God had revealed. Now, the passage I'm about to read to you is too long to put on the screen, so you can follow along in your Bibles. There are Bibles in the rack in front of you, under the chairs if you need one, or you can simply listen as I read from the New American Standard Version. I'm going to be reading Daniel chapter 4, verses 4 through 18. This is the testimony, the personal testimony of the king. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies, as I lay on my bed and the vision in my heart, kept alarming me. So I gave orders to bring in to my presence all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the musicians, the magicians, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, the diviners came in, and I related to them the dream. But they could not make the interpretation known to me. But finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the names of my God, and in whom a spirit of the holy God, and in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And I related the dream to him, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery baffles you, tell me the vision of my dream, which I have seen along with its interpretation. Now, these were the vision in my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shelter under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all living creatures fed themselves from it. I was looking in the vision in my mind as I lay in the bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He shouted out and spoke as follows, "Chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off the foliage, scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its root in the ground, but with a brand of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let the beast's mind be given him, and let 7 years of time pass over him." This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is commanded by the Holy One, in order that the living may know that the Most High, El Elyon, is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets it over the lowliness of men. This is the dream which I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, tell me its interpretation, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me its interpretation. But you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. So once again, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar is stumped by a dream's interpretation. God has tried to patiently get the king's attention, but as so often happens in the heart of a natural man, mankind is skeptical and not interested in hearing from God. The natural man thinks he knows more about life and existence than God knows. And man thinks that his wisdom and knowledge exceeds that of El Elyon. King Nebuchadnezzar, in so many ways, is symbolic of how the ego and pride of the natural man operates on a daily basis. The reasoning of the person in darkness is the attitude that says, who needs God? Who cares what God thinks? I'm good without him. However, there comes a day when every person will come face to face with the truth. And there will no longer be any place for one to hide their spiritual cynicism or to deny the existence of God, for they will stand before him face to face. Indeed, it's better to face God today as your Savior than to face him tomorrow as your judge. King Nebuchadnezzar is about to face off with God on earth. Here is the interpretation by Daniel of the king's dream. Here is, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Daniel 4, 19 through 27. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled for a while as the thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said to Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar replied, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. In verse 20, it starts, the tree you saw, and then jumping to verse 22, the tree you saw, it is you. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, El Elyon, which has come upon my lord the king, that you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass over to you until you recognize the Most High. The El Elyon is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it upon whomever he wishes. And in that, it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. Church, the decree of El Elyon, the God Most High, to the most powerful man on earth. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that when God has made a decree that can change what God has determined. Even the most powerful man on earth is unable to change or to stand against the determinative will of God. El Elyon is sovereign and over the kings and kingdoms. El Elyon rules the heavens and the earth. God gave space to the king to change his ways, to repent of his arrogance and his ego, but the king was unmoved. The king didn't believe the dream concerning the statue of the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the clay, and the stone. And now the king even refuses to believe the prophecy of the second dream, continuing in his arrogance and pride and ego. And then the day came. What God had decreed comes to pass. Be assured, beloved, whatever God decrees will one day come to pass. It is just a matter of time. Daniel 4, 28. All these things happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? You see, the king was still stuck on himself. He was still believing that he was above the Most High God. His arrogance flowed through him. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that El Elyon, Most High, is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it upon whomever he wishes. Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The decree of God, it always comes to pass. The day of reward, a loss of reward, will happen for every believer who will one day appear before the Bema Seat judgment of God. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. It has been declared by God. And though we may think it to be slow, the day will come. The day of condemnation and judgment, a casting into the lake of fire, will one day occur at the great white throne judgment for those who do not believe. Revelation 21:11-15. This has been decreed by El Elyon, who is the ruler of the heavens and the earth, who causes kings and kingdoms to rise and fall. Now, people can say what they want about the judgments of God, but they are going to happen. They are a reality. People may believe it will never happen, but be assured the decree of God will take place. It will occur. They can disbelieve like King Nebuchadnezzar did, but the dream, the decree of God came true. So do not be deceived by the patience of God, who gives to mankind the opportunity to repent and choose salvation in the Lord. The natural man may feel smug and superior in this current situation in life, but one day the final verdict will be rendered, and arrogance and pride and ego will give way to the hand of God. The king learned the lessons of El Elyon, his sovereignty and supremacy, the hard way. God invites you to cease striving with him and come to him, for by faith you are saved by grace. Now, God gave to Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to repent and make his peace with God. Verse 34, but at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High. I blessed El Elyon and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Quite a different attitude from Daniel 2 to Daniel 4. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. The king went down a harsh road, and God was merciful to the king. It was El Elyon who restored the king to his kingdom. This is part of the point of the story. After 7 years of insanity, El Elyon gave back to King Nebuchadnezzar the kingdom. I mean, think about that. A king being absent for 7 years. Would it not seem to ring true that somebody would aspire to power and authority during that 7 year absence of the king's rule? But God, El Elyon, the ruler of kings and kingdoms who causes them to rise and fall, guaranteed that after 7 years, the king would receive his kingdom back. Yet proof again of the supremacy of God. An application point of this study of the name of El Elyon comes to me as we survey the declining spiritual culture in our land. Many elected and unelected officials in our country exert their decision-making authority outside the will of God. Not only do they not consult with God, but they mock God by tearing down the tributes to God and who He is, which acknowledge that God was the hinge pin on which this great nation was built. We are about to celebrate the 4th of July as a nation, and many are turning their back on the one who secured our land as a free land, as a free nation. Beloved, no one says America is without flaws. Historically, or even in this present day, we find that we have flaws. But you remember what the attitude should be of Americans towards their land? What do we pray? What do we sing about in our anthem? God mend our every flaw. Church, the power of God cannot be neutered, and the decree of God will stand for eternity. Indeed, the natural man may not be saying it verbatim, but they have their own version of King Nebuchadnezzar. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Symbolic of the attitude that we see amongst many in our land today. Church, let me just assure you, El Elyon, God, is still in charge, and He still establishes kings and kingdoms. Now, we do our part as citizens in our country to be light, to be ambassadors for Christ, to exercise our freedom to vote, as we actively express our faith in God everywhere we go in our land. That is our calling, and that is our duty. Today, you may be feeling a spirit of gloom, a spirit of doom over the recent behavior of violence and the spirit of anarchy seen in different parts of our land and because of the COVID-19 virus. However, beloved, as our frustrations might heighten, our uncertainty might grow, and as rebellion against law and order may rise, even if America falters, we have the assurance of El Elyon, and He is not caught by surprise. His will be accomplished, and we will always, no matter what land we live in, no matter whose authority we are under, we will always be held in the hand of God as His children. Our trust is not in a country. Our trust is not in a human leader. Our trust is in God Most High, who holds all countries and kings and kingdoms in His hand. Church, God's love is perfect, and He has created all people in His image. Here is an example of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. From Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and people and tongues, people from all tribes, all people and all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and praise and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection applies to all nations. It applies to all tongues. It applies to all nationalities. It applies to people of all languages. And people, we invite everyone to the family reunion that will take place in heaven. El Elyon, the God Most High, who causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall, kings to rise and kings to fall. What we learn about God through this name, El Elyon, is that He is sovereign and supreme over the earth, and that He has the final say. The stone cut from the mountain that will strike down the Gentile kingdoms and will establish forever the kingdom under His rule. El Elyon is worthy of our worship. God bless you as you follow the Lord. In this day of trial, in this day of testing, maybe we need to not look at the newspaper so much or watch the news so often. And maybe we need to read the Word a little more and bend our knees at the throne a little longer and find our hope and our peace in the power of our God, for it is He that has us in His hands, and it is in Him that we trust. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You are the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We have learned through the life of King Nebuchadnezzar that indeed, as the king thought he was above You, that he found out quickly that You are the one who is above all things. We worship and adore You as El Elyon, the God Most High. And Lord, we have to admit that in our feeble, finite human wisdom, there are many things that we don't understand about what's taking place in the world around us. And we would even confess, Lord, there are many things that are taking place that we don't like and that we don't embrace and that distress our spirit and cause our heart to be troubled. But if those were the things that we were dependent upon, Lord, then we would be the most miserable people. But it is not those things in which we place our trust. We place our trust in You, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is all-knowing, the one who has a decree and a plan. And we know that at the end of time, in our days upon this earth, that there will be that day when we stand before the Bema Seat reward throne, in which You will give to us that which we can return to You for Your honor and glory. We trust You, God. We believe in You, that even though the circumstances seem difficult, even though they may seem hard, we know that You are the Lord over all things. Our trust is in You. May all be done to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you would you stand with me and let's do our anthem of praise here. And in doing so, let us remember that these are personal commitments we make as we make it real. And then as we make it real with God, it gives us an opportunity then to make a difference in the world in which we live. Make it real. Do.
The right thing.
For.
The right reason.
With.
The right heart.
to make a difference at?
Home.
In?
The church.
Throughout?
The world.
It is God's work?
For God's glory.
Amen. God bless you as you walk with the Lord this week.